This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Yes, Germany will dumbfound the world. And many people will be caught by utter surprise. The Bible has prophesied thousands of years ago what is going to happen in the not-too-distant future. And today I want to go back to the not-too-distant past to show you what did happen in the past and how history is going to repeat itself. And unfortunately, many haven't learned their lessons yet, so they are doomed to repeat them. Unfortunately, many will not qualify when it comes to those terrible events which are going to take place. Now, first I'd like to point out a very interesting development which is happening in Germany right now as we speak. I'd like to quote to you from The Economist, dated December 19, and it says that in Germany, as in the rest of Europe, copyright expires 7 decades after the author's year of death. That applies even when the author is Adolf Hitler, and the work is Mein Kampf. Since 1945, the state of Bavaria has owned the book's German language rights and has refused to allow its republication. Those living outside Germany may not immediately grasp the significance of the moment. Mein Kampf has always been available in translation and is now just a click away online. But that is not the point. For Germans, the expiry of the copyright has caused controversy. The question, as they ring in the new year, is not what to do about Mein Kampf as it enters the public domain. Rather, it is what Hitler means for Germany today. And then the article goes on to say that Germans know that whenever others are angry with them, they will paint a Hitler mustache on posters of their chancellor. Many Germans are fed up with this, with being blackmailed, as Bild Online complained this spring when Greece unexpectedly brought war reparations into negotiations about bailouts in the euro crisis. And of course, the idea that you can compare the current German government with Hitler is just preposterous, it's ridiculous, it's ludicrous. But you see, these comparisons make Germans angry, and rightly so, because most Germans were born after Hitler died. But it also will backfire, and it also clouds history, and it will cloud reality as it is going to happen. Now I'd like to take you back to reporting of American newspapers at the time when Hitler came to power. And even though I'm going to quote from this rather lengthy articles, and I'm only giving you a few excerpts, even those excerpts are rather lengthy, but I like to encourage you to listen carefully, because much of what I'm going to tell you now, I didn't know, and I dare to say that many of you probably have not heard those facts before. It's an article which was published by the Daily Beast on December 20, 2015, and this is what it says. The train arrived punctually. A Christian Science Monitor report from Germany informed its readers not long after Adolf Hitler's rise to power in 1933. As for all those harrowing stories of Jews being mistreated, they seem to apply only to a small proportion. Most were not in any way molested. Overall, the Monitor's dispatch declared, the Hitler regime was providing a dark land, a clear light of hope. Why did many mainstream American newspapers portray the Hitler regime positively, especially in its early months, the article asks? Why did they excuse or rationalize Nazi anti-Semitism? Many American editors and reporters assumed that a radical candidate would show some restraint once in office. Does this ring any bell today, perhaps? The article goes on to say that an editorial in the Philadelphia Evening Bulletin on January 30, 1933, asserted that, quote, there have been indications of moderation on Hitler's part. The editors of the Cleveland Press on January 31 claimed the, quote, appointment of Hitler as German Chancellor may not be such a threat to world peace as it appears at first blush. Soon after Hitler assumed power, all Jews were dismissed from government jobs, ousted from a wide range of other professions, from dentistry to the movie industry. Sporadic anti-Jewish violence erupted throughout the country, and it was amply reported in the American press. The Chicago Tribune described assaults. Hundreds of Jews have been beaten or tortured. Thousands of Jews have fled. Thousands of Jews have been or will be deprived of their livelihood. All of Germany's 600,000 Jews are in terror. Yet, the Daily Beast goes on to say, some American journalists presented a very different view of Germany. A page one dispatch from the New York Herald Tribune's Berlin correspondent on March 25 asserted that while the situation of German Jewry was an unhappy one, many atrocity stories were exaggerated and often unfounded. A Christian Science Monitor editorial declared that it was the Jews, which, through their conduct, got them into trouble. A leading Protestant periodical, the Christian Century, proclaimed in an April 26 editorial, "May we ask if Hitler's attitude may be somewhat governed by the fact that too many Jews, at least in Germany, are radical. Too many are communists. May that have any bearing on the situation? There must be some reason other than race or creed. Just what is that reason?" The Times provided the Nazi leader with a major public relations boost in July of 1933. The one-page interview headlined, "Hitler Seeks Jobs for All Germans," gave the Führer paragraph after paragraph to justify his domestic policies as the only way to deal with Germany's unemployment, improve its roads, and promote national unity. Remarkably, even 5 years later, after 5 years of anti-Jewish violence, German militarization, the annexation of Austria, some in the Western press still tried to present Hitler's human side. In November 1938, the same month that the Kristallnacht pogrom devastated German Jewry, the British magazine Homes and Gardens ran a three-page photo spread on Hitler's bright, airy chalet in the Bavarian Alps. Not long before that puff piece, the New York Times published a dispatch from one of its Berlin correspondents in which he could barely conceal his admiration of Hitler's mountain retreat. There was another important factor that influenced U.S. press coverage of Hitler's early years, and that is something I felt was very remarkable. And please think in terms of the future when you read what happened in the past. And you might even want to think in terms of the present. The position taken by President Franklin D. Roosevelt and his administration. Many editors and reporters took their cues from the White House. The Roosevelt administration, which carefully monitored 425 newspapers daily, downplayed the plight of the Jews. During the 1930s, the position of the White House was not just to sidestep the plight of the Jews, but also to combat any domestic criticism or protests that might interfere with U.S.-German diplomatic and economic relations. The administration intervened to block congressional resolutions in 1933-1934 criticizing Nazi Germany. The Secretary of State shared with U.S. diplomats in Germany his, quote, fear that the continued dissemination of exaggerated reports may prejudice the friendly feelings between the peoples of the two countries and be of doubtful service to anyone. Roosevelt even compelled his Interior Secretary to remove critical references to Hitler, Mussolini, and Nazism from a 1938 speech. The article concludes, "Perhaps it is not surprising that the sudden unexpected rise of an extremist from beer halls to the halls of power would catch the Fifth Estate off guard. What is troubling, however, is the extent to which some mainstream American newspaper editors and reporters allowed their better judgment to be clouded by wishful thinking, admiration for punctual trains, or deference to the president. One wonders how their successors would respond if a comparable situation were to arise in our own time." Now, the Bible says that a very comparable situation will arise in the not-too-distant future in Germany. Because, you see, the Merkel government will not last forever. A new government will be erected, and maybe a leader will arise who may not even be part of the mainstream political establishment. The Bible makes this very clear, that it's going to be a very charismatic political figure. And the whole world will be surprised. And they will admire this man. And they will actually even worship him, as the Bible says. And many will report very favorably about him. And perhaps at first, the relationship between Germany and Europe and America will continue to be somewhat friendly. Who knows? But anyhow, many people will have an absolutely rude awakening when they finally understand what is happening, and then it will be too late for most. My friends, we have prepared a booklet, The 10 European Revivals of the Ancient Roman Empire. This booklet explains to you from the past and also talks about the future, what has happened and what is going to happen in Europe, and what the relationship will be between Europe under German leadership in the future and America, and also Great Britain. It is extremely important that you understand what is going to happen. And based on history, we can say that some of the historical pieces will be repeated. The reporting, as I read to you today from American newspapers, might very well be similar to reporting in the future, because people will absolutely be dumbfounded and surprised, not understanding what is happening. Now, you need to know, and you have an opportunity to understand when you read our free booklet on the European Revivals. Please just ask for a copy of our booklet on the European Revivals, and we will be happy to send it to you free of charge. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.